It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the latest edition, the post-first round of the NFL Draft edition of Cabali and Mac. Look who's got the old cut-off Cobra Kai t-shirt on over there. Kaboom, showing off the guns. He's Mark Cabali, veteran Steelers reporter for the Pat McAfee Show. And of course, I thought the latest WWE piece about post-WrestleMania rivalries was great. Maybe we'll get to that later. I'm Chris Mack, just a guy who sits here and talks. But together we are Cabali and Mack. We welcome you in, presented by the Dan Heck Team. Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, now is the time because it is busy, 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 and they want to help you, whether it's getting to a starter home, your first home. Maybe you're moving from that first starter home into something bigger as the family grows, whatever. You're just looking to move from one neighborhood to the other, one side of town to the other. Although I don't think anybody in this city likes to cross rivers. Whatever the reason is, if you're looking to move and you're looking for a home in the Pittsburgh area, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com for the Dan Heck Team. They are ready to help you out. All right, here we go, kaboom. I'm going to loosen up the old scapula and rotator cuff and everything else in here, labrum, and give both of us a hearty pat on the back. What have we been saying? I've been only been on board for like the last week and a half or so. You've been on it for multiple weeks that the pick in the first round was going to go, I believe, something like
first this. Pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Derek Harmon, defensive tackle, Oregon.
And that's the way it went. Neither one of us was surprised by this at all, Mark, after we talked about it for, like I said, the last few weeks. Harmon was there. He was there. He was there. Walter Nolan goes a little bit earlier to Arizona, which kind of surprised me a bit, but it worked out perfectly. They got who they wanted. And as they said last night, and I'll play the clip in a couple minutes, but let you talk first here. Like, this is how they wanted it to go.
Yeah, I mean, Tom alluded to it afterwards, but we all know it by now. That last couple games of the season, even the three games against Baltimore, where they gave up about 700 yards rushing in three games, including 299 against them in the championship, really did not sit with them, and they're acting appropriately, accordingly. So it was always defensive line. Unless something absolutely crazy, some meteor came out of the sky and crushed the UPMC south side and something happened, it was always going to be defensive line, which makes it stunning to me that us local folks was the one that knew this, and the national folks are still saying,
they're still talking about Shador this morning.
If you had two brain cells, and I kept saying this last night, you knew who they were going to pick. You knew what the position they were going to pick. It was just a matter, and you knew who they liked. At least I knew who they liked. It's just a matter of, was that guy going to be there at the time? And it was close. I mean, if Harmon's gone, you're now probably pivoting toward Ibuka, but he was gone before that.
So you might be pivoting to Hampton. Yeah, I mean,
those are like the three guys, but Hampton might not even have been a guy that they might have went a different direction at that point. But the defensive line was very important to them. And, you know, even if Tomlin did somewhat like Shador Sanders, he got overruled.
Do you think he really did, or do you think that was
– I think there was some there.
I think there's a lot of smoke.
But he got talked out of it, I believe. Not talked out of it, but it's like, yo – dude, we need this. And it's like, yeah, okay.
Well, this is what Omar had to say last night to Kaboom and the assembled media down on the south side.
About certain guys that we would not trade away from. And
why does he keep doing this?
This is one of those players for us.
Why is he playing both of them now?
This is
what happens when you try to do things on your own, right? When you try to do things on your own.
You know, we're a mom and pop store, man. Stuff like this happens.
That's true. You're absolutely right. All right. Now, should we hear what Omar had to say? Yeah, okay.
You know, we talked about certain guys that we would not trade away from, and this is one of those players for us. You know, the phone was ringing, and we had some serious conversations, but at the end of the day, you know, once Derek was still there, we were excited, and, you know, it was an easy choice for us.
Yeah, that's exactly all the stuff that you just said, basically, that they lined up perfectly for them. Yeah. I think it would have been interesting to see what had happened had Harmon gone off the board, like you said.
It's like, thank you, Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, I mean, you said it yesterday, as long as the Bengals didn't jump on him. But when there were – when I don't think there was a single – there was one edge rusher – no, two, if you count Abdul Carter, obviously. Two edge rushers off the board by the time Cincinnati came around. And they had their choice of Shamar Stewart or James Pierce Jr. And when those two were both there for the Bengals, it felt like, given – I know they're blowing a bunch of smoke, the Bengals, about Trey Hendrickson and wanting to get that done and wanting to keep him around, but that's not happening. I think he's felt disrespected enough by the Bengals that unless they back up a Brinks truck to his front door, he'd much rather go ply his trade somewhere else. So they had to get an edge rusher at that point in preparation for when Hendrickson is no longer around. And so at that point they had to jump on Stewart or Pierce, and they did. That didn't totally surprise me.
I was just reading a text message, which a little inside information, but
to institute like some kind of phone down rule.
It was a nice little nugget here, but you know,
what is it then?
I can't repeat the nugget. Well, I was reading it and it says, don't mention this between us. At least it gives me an insight of what they're thinking, right?
Right.
A lot of your takes are based off of information that's told to you, right?
So are we to infer that someone in a position of importance?
Well, maybe not importance, but of no.
Okay, somebody in the know is listening right now telling you, hey, don't forget this, but don't say anything, but don't forget this.
Hey, it is what it is. I forget what I was saying now.
You weren't saying anything. You were sitting there staring at your phone when I was talking about the Bengals having to jump on an edge rusher.
Yeah, and then at least I muted it, right?
You went blank.
At least I muted it. I just heard a buzz. I'm like, what's this buzz?
So here's the thing, and we talked a little bit about Harmon.
That's what I was thinking. I would like to see. He said a lot of people were calling up to see what they want and what
right
they're going to offer. I mean, what type of deal are we talking about here? We're talking about a Cleveland Browns deal at that point. I mean, that might have been in play, even regardless of what they said about, hey, that's our guy, we're not moving away from him. If the Nolan was still there, if Walter Nolan was still there, if Grant was still there, if your guy, one of your guys were still there, maybe you try to pull the Cleveland Browns trade, Jacksonville, and get a boatload of stuff for it. But I have nothing. I'm all on board with, hey, we're taking our guy because we like this guy.
Yeah, I have no problem with that either. I just don't think, like, I'd have to look at the old chart maybe. To see, like, there's no way somebody coming up from four or five spots was going to give you a second round pick in exchange for those four or five spots.
But we look at, I mean, it's, I know with Cleveland did with Jacksonville, problem with that. I mean, you don't want to say Cleveland won that trade, but they did. They really, really.
Well, it depends what they do
with them, but they now have to make the picks.
It depends what they do with, in my opinion, anyway, it depends a lot on what they do at 33 and 36 to start the night tonight, if Cleveland won that trade or not.
You know, like I wrote in that story today, that meant the Steelers do have a plan, and they told us their plan 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago, build out the offensive line.
Yeah.
They've taken 8 now out of their potential 15 picks of Omar Khan on offensive or defensive linemen.
And everything
in their plan is, right?
And they
told us flat out, this is our plan.
And every first or second round pick under Khan has been aligned.
Except once they had two, the Benton. They had
okay, was Benton it? Was fair. Okay.
He was like 2B or whatever the hell you call it.
Right. But okay, they have drafted, I should say, an offensive or defensive lineman in the first or second round of every draft under Khan to this point. They're firmly in, like I said yesterday, they're firmly in the Weidel era. They Omar brought Andy in for a reason.
Common sense era, man. That's how you win ball games.
Well, and this is how you don't screw up a first round pick, to be honest. Now, look, Derek Harmon, I know people are making a big deal out of the shoulder injury and whether that could be a thing down the line. That Derek Harmon right now makes sense for what you want to do. I understand you have two quarterbacks on the roster. And this is the thing that drives me nuts about the whole narrative about them drafting Shadur, is nobody outside of the 412-724 area codes has thought for more than a split second about maybe they'll just let Rudolph start the year if Rodgers doesn't want to come around. Like, again, I hate to be a Mason Rudolph fanboy, but I'm not even telling you he's going to be great. I'm just telling you he can be a starting quarterback in the league. He's gone into a playoff game with them as their starting quarterback before.
But I don't think we're going to have to worry about that.
I know, Mr. Rodgers. I know. Relax. I was hoping to go an entire show without talking about Aaron Rodgers, but you had to go and bring it up. Here's the thing about Harmon that I love, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. The dude can just he can move up and down the line. He can play anywhere there. And here's the thing. It's not just – this isn't like getting a run stopper who you just throw in the middle like a big old plug and eat up gaps. No, and it's not
2001 anymore, right?
Right, and it's not a pass rushing end either. This is a guy that can do both. Led all FBS interior D linemen with 55 pressures, 12 more than the next closest defensive tackle. The only things I have to worry about this guy are just two little things, in my opinion. Does the shoulder injury end up being a thing that costs him time at some point, like significant time, like surgical time down the line? But we have no idea right now. And a decent number of missed tackles. So that's great if you can get into the backfield and penetrate and stop ball carriers and wrangle quarterbacks behind the line of scrimmage. It's not so great when you get back there and create that pressure, but then you can't wrap a dude up.
But that's where coaching comes in. Yep. That's where technique comes in. And you have to admit, college coaches aren't as – not even coaches. I mean, you can throw in Carl Dunbar and guys like that, teaching them techniques to be able to do that. But you got Cam Hayward over here right now, man. And what it sounded like last night from Derek Harmon is, man, only thing he's less excited to being a Steeler is being able to say, hey, Cam, tell me what to do, man.
I
want to be you.
He gets to pick Cam Hayward's brain. Cam Hayward gets to bring him along. It's why this pick made so much sense the entire time. Here's what Tomlin had to say. He had the line of the night about Derek Harmon and their selection of him.
And he has Steeler DNA. For us, man, it starts inside and up front. And this is a guy that's capable of dominating that space versus the run and the pass. And so we're really excited about having him. As Omar mentioned, man, we weren't interested in considering trading away from him, and I'm really excited about getting him in here and getting started.
He has Steeler DNA, Kaboom. That's what I love.
I'm not sure what that means. I was trying to figure that out. I was asking some guys last night, what is Steeler DNA?
Steeler DNA is your defensive lineman that can just wreck shop, whether it's in the run game or create pressure.
Wouldn't that be like everybody's DNA?
No. It's exclusive to us. It's exclusive to Pittsburgh.
Steeler's DNA.
It's Steeler DNA. All right.
They gave him a DNA test, though. Is that illegal? Part of the medical evaluations?
Appreciate the fact that he threw you a good line that you could throw into a story. Steeler DNA. Did that make it into the Kaboom write-up? I didn't see it.
Probably, yeah. Of course. I mean, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, so who knows?
You don't even remember what you wrote, do you?
I remember. I just didn't go to bed till 3, woke up at 7, and
poor baby.
Drink some coffee, and
you're gonna be okay. Get back at it tonight.
Oh, tonight.
And sit around.
Normally they have the first round pick come in today at 3 or 4.
Yeah,
that might not happen for reasons that.
Yeah, sounds like Derek Harmon. ESPN did a nice piece on. It was just a little snippet I saw last night on the relationship between Derek Harmon and his mom. who I guess
he
had a
getting, he was getting broke up. He was getting choked up last night, and I felt bad for the guy. It was weird. It was like happy.
Yeah.
He dropped this on. I mean, obviously it was public knowledge because other people have written about it, but we didn't know this. I mean, we don't know about this. He drops that, then you felt the tone in the room just go,
Yeah. So for those that missed it somehow, Derek Harmon's mom has had some health issues for a while now, and apparently she's in the hospital on life support right now. So Derek Harmon, this is what Mark's talking about, was talking about that on the conference call with the Pittsburgh media last night and said he was actually headed to the hospital to let his mother know that he had been drafted by the Steelers. So you hope that the kid and his family can find their way through this. But, you know, Cam commented on it, Cam Hayward, about, you know, the just how special this guy must be if he's able to do all this while going
through. He responded to my tweet, too. It got me about 500,000 responses. So thanks, Cam.
Yeah, I'm glad we could get some engagement for the Kaboom. but more importantly, like, seriously, this might, you know, I don't want to get too weird about it, but, like, this is the kind of – they're going to have a bond in and of itself. They're, you know, a couple of Big Ten defensive linemen drafted by the Steelers in the first round, and they play the same positions, very similar body types. One is presumed to be the heir apparent to the other, Harmon to Hayward. But then, you know, they can also – it's not a bond anybody wants to share with anybody, but that bond over dealing with parental health issues. And you don't know how Derek Harmon's mom and, you know, Ironhead Hayward, that's something for these two to talk about, right? Like Cam Hayward and Derek Harmon, it's on a very deep personal level. Maybe it's something that doesn't come up between them at all. Like I said, I don't want to get weird about it, but there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, he later, something to lighten up the mood here, said something like, you know, Cam, I love Cam. I love how he plays. And he goes, hell, man, I've been watching him since I was a baby. I just thought of Michael Jordan saying, and I took offense to that.
And I took that personally.
a baby. Come on. When did Cam come in the league? 2011? So 14. I guess he was only 6 or 7 because I think he's 21, Harmon. So maybe not baby, but.
But a little kid. He's a little kid. Yeah, that's tough when people start telling you about how they watched you when they were little kids. That'll age you real quick. Got to thank Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. We appreciate them supporting the show much the same way you're supporting the show right now by simply watching us on YouTube, X, Facebook, wherever you get Cabali and Mac. We want to thank them for being a part of the show as a sponsor. You want to get your yard taken care of. Saw some awesome pictures on their Instagram feed of what they can do. Hey, the yard may be a mess through no fault of your own. You just don't have the time to take care of it. Or, I don't know, whatever it may be, you don't want to spend the money and the effort on taking care of that grass all the time. By all means, check out southwestgreenspa.com. They can install a beautiful new artificial surface that'll be the best looking in the neighborhood and also require the least upkeep in the neighborhood. Safe for the kids, safe for the pets, and most importantly, you can get out there and enjoy it year-round. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Go check them out today. Tell Jake the Cabali and Mac sent you. Okay, so Derek Harmon is a Steeler. Cam Hayward 2.0. Shador is not a Pittsburgh Steeler. I don't want to spend too much time talking about Shador Sanders. If people want Shador Sanders talk, they can go to ESPN because that's all it's been all night, all morning. Mel Kiper at one point. After
obviously, I didn't see this because I'm in the war room, but somebody mentioned to me and I was able to see some clips. So you're going to have to like clue me in on some of the things I missed.
It was wild. The Giants trade up to 25, right? They trade back into the first round to get Jackson Dart. And they select Jackson Dart. And ESPN is doing that thing after a player is picked where, you know, they got the Jackson Dart and his family up in one corner of the screen, and they're showing highlights on the rest of the screen, right? And people are breaking it down, talking about Dart making this throw and that throw. Mel Kiper jumps in, basically shits all over Jackson Dart's two bad games. Well, you guys, he had two games late in the year where he had as many interceptions as touchdowns thrown, you know, two picks and two touchdowns in each of these two games, you know, and Shedeur Sanders is still out there. And as Jackson Dart highlights are playing on the screen to be broken down and talked about, he goes off on another tangent about Shedeur Sanders still being available. I don't know how much Mel Kiper is getting paid by the Sanders family. It's not enough. The man is a one human PR agency for Shedeur Sanders. He would not shut the hell up about Shedeur the entire night. And then once the Steelers passed on him, it's all he would talk about.
Mm-hmm. Did Irsay come on and say, who the hell's Mel Kiper?
Yeah,
I think that. Yesterday was the anniversary of that, too.
Oh, we need
anniversary
that.
Of, what was it, 30 years?
Yeah,
who
that
the
would be
hell's
amazing.
Mel Kiper anyways? And that sounds like Mel. Maybe not. I don't know if I really believe that, you know, he gets paid or anything like that. But
that's hyperbole.
When you say he could be the best prospect and he's a top five guy and he doesn't go in the first round, your reputation might take a little smack across the face.
A little.
That's probably
a little
what it was more than anything.
A little dent in the armor for Mel Kiper. Look, sometimes you're right about players. Like, sometimes you really like a guy and he ends up being crap.
Hell. I'm the one that said that them three quarterbacks are going to be taken from the top 10 or 12. I was
true.
Wrong on that one.
Hey, we all get stuff wrong. It happens. But, like, let it go. Like, rather than sitting there and talking about how everybody's blowing it by passing on Shedeur Sanders and continuing to make some sort of weird comparison to the Aaron Rodgers slide years ago, how about, instead of that, let's talk about the teams. First of all, let's talk about the player who just got drafted. Talk about Dart and the Giants being willing to come up to 25 to get him. And then let's talk about the rest of the teams that are out there that may actually be interested in spending those picks on Shedeur Sanders. Like, I don't know, Cleveland at 33 or 36 after the trade with Jacksonville. Vegas at 37. New Orleans at 40. Who knows? The Cowboys may do something very Jerry Jonesy at 44, the Rams at 46, maybe even Miami, 48, Seattle, 50 and 52. There are plenty of spots where Shedeur Sanders could go early tonight, but instead of talking about all that, he just continues to rant. And anyway,
but he wasn't the only one. I mean, I just saw a clip on Lewis Riddick comparing him towards Drew Brees, and he might turn into the next Tom Brady. Well, you know, let's lower a roll with Shedeur Sanders and Tom Brady now. Let's slow it down a little.
Let me see the guy throw a frozen rope on a 15-yard out on a third and 13. And when I see that, I'll say, okay, that guy may have been worth a first-round pick. But as it stands right now, nobody has seen that.
See, people in our business now are afraid to say, man, I screwed this up, man. You know, this is not – I just messed up, man. I'm wrong. They think it hurts their overall people who believe in them and stuff like that. I mean, if you're wrong, you're wrong, man.
Just own it. Just say, hey.
Sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. I thought that people were going to take Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders earlier just because of the quarterback, but that tells you all you need to know to me. If 32 teams passed on him and don't view – it's not like it's one team. Everybody passed on him. I know a lot of people were set with quarterback. But to be able to move back in like the Giants did, there's a handful of teams would love to have if he was worth it. They just don't feel like he's a first-round talent. And it, hey, whatever. Time will tell.
It will. And we'll see. Like, it doesn't surprise me that Dart went ahead of Sanders. It does surprise me in a just a bit that Dart made it as far into the first round as he did. I thought the Saints might jump on one of the two. But, you know, it clearly people in war rooms across the NFL came around to the thought that we've been discussing since, hell, February, which is this is not a great quarterback class. Mm-hmm. Like, Cam Ward goes first overall, and then after that, there's probably not another first rounder amongst them. The Giants traded up to make Jackson Dart a first rounder so that they can take the time to try and develop him behind a couple of veterans. Who knows how long they'll wait around to actually plug him in. And you know, late first round at that. But other than that, there's no, I'm sorry. There just aren't any other first-round quarterbacks in this draft, and we've been saying it for a long time. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the league either finally caught up to it, or more than likely, they stopped blowing smoke at everybody and showed with their actions what they wanted to do rather than just telling people.
You know, I think the biggest tell was New Orleans passing on Sanders.
Yeah.
You got Kellen Moore, who's almost like a quarterback whisperer, right? Mm-hmm. He's getting his first opportunity to be a head coach. Do you want to be tied to a guy for 4 years and your ninth overall pick being a guy that could potentially fail? He's like, nah, man, unless this guy's absolutely sure – We're not going down this route. So I think that was a telltale sign when the Saints are like, no thanks on Shador, man, because I think Kellen Moore knows his quarterback, obviously, and now you're going with Spencer Rattler there. I mean, you have all the excuses in the world to take Shador at that point.
But here's the question then for me, and it's which of these teams that passed in the first round is going to come back around in the second round or third and say, okay, now we're willing to roll the dice on this guy. Because, again, I'll run down the teams. Vegas, Cleveland, obviously, at 33 and 36. That feels like a very Brownsian type pick to take Sanders there. If he gets past them, then Vegas is at 37, New Orleans at 40. I mentioned the possibility of the Cowboys doing something stupid. That always exists at 44. Rams, 46. Dolphins, 48. Seattle, 50 and 52. Do you think he goes to one of those seven teams in the second round? You know,
I'll go out on a limb and say I think Milroe goes before him today.
Wow. If Milroe goes before Sanders, then that means all of those teams will have passed on him, right? Yep. And I would think that if they're not willing to take him with a second-round pick, are they necessarily willing to take him with a third-round pick?
I think after Milroe grew, I think Milroe will grow in the first third to half of this second round. Then after that, I think Sanders will come off the board at some point in the second round. At that point, I mean, what do you have invested, a second round pick? I mean,
to your point, once you've made the decision, like Kellen Moore, because the Saints at 9 were where the slide started. If you're not willing, if you look at a guy and say, we don't like him enough to take him at 9. Yes, obviously there's a difference in value if you decide with your 40th pick not to take him or the 71st pick if you're the Saints, but you're still looking at a guy saying, we're not too excited about him. Are we willing to spend a second or third round pick on him?
Well, let's push this forward right now, and there's a team here in the 412 that could use a quarterback.
Right. So
where does one come off the board here for them, or do they?
So that's the next question then. And before we answer it, I want to thank our newest sponsors here on Cabali and Mac, our good friends at Nail Studio 2 in McMurray, Peters Township, South Hills area. That's the place to go. Look at that. Kaboom. Your fingernails.
My nails grow very fast. Is it some sort of a...
I think it's something... I was talking about this with somebody the other day. I think as we get older, for some reason, nails grow faster, maybe.
Or you just can't take them anymore. As soon as they get a little bit bigger, you're like, I'm cutting them.
Maybe. I don't know. But I've never had a pedicure. I should probably go get one. It would probably feel nice, right? Get a little foot rub.
You know, it's like, But I would you give like it a shot, but I don't know if I'd like it.
Well, at the very least, under new ownership... just recently, Nail Studio 2, McMurray Peters Township, is there to help you. This time of year especially, right? Maybe you're like me, you got a teenage daughter going to prom. Maybe you're looking to get your wife or your mom something for Mother's Day. It's graduation season as well very soon. The place to go to get gift cards for any of that or set up appointments for a loved one, if that's the way you want to do it, Nail Studio 2, Roman numeral 2, nailstudio2.com. Or just give them a call, 724-941-4595. The Mother's Day special, in-store only. If you buy a $100 gift card for mom, you get a complimentary $20 gift card for a future service for you. So maybe you think, I'm not a pedicure kind of guy, but you could roll the dice on it. You could try it because you buy that $100 gift card for mom. That takes care of her or maybe for your wife. And then you got a $20 gift card for yourself.
The toughest part is I did that a couple of years ago for the wife, and it's like, where do I go? I mean, I don't know where to go. Where are you getting gift certificates or get, I have no clue. So you're just like Googling stuff. You don't need to Google stuff. Go to
Nail Studio 2, McMurray, Peters Township. If you're in the South Hills area, real easy drive right there at Donaldson's Crossroads. We thank them for jumping on board here with Cabali and Mac and being a part of the fun and the nonsense here on the show. All right, so if it comes around at 83, that Shedeur Sanders is somehow still there, would they do it?
Potentially. I don't think it's going to get to that point, but we can play the hypothetical game.
I mean, it's worth
play the hypothetical. You probably do take him at 83, but I don't think he'll be there. I think you more look into day three and who falls there. I mean, there's a name out there that we really haven't given a lot of thought to or talked to that you might have to keep an eye on.
Who?
I mean, who did Penn State lose to in the semifinals this past year?
Notre Dame. I don't know if that had anything
to do with it. Who's the Notre Dame quarterback?
Riley Leonard, really?
Might take a flyer. I wouldn't rule him out.
I mean, the guy has the ability to break the pocket and make things happen with his legs.
Well, not as a starter now.
No. I'm talking as a backup, right? I like the athleticism, but I don't know how well he actually throws the football, which is kind of important as a quarterback.
Well, he throws better than that one pass by Drew Aller. Too soon?
Yeah, still too soon. Sorry. Oh, you bastard.
There goes Freiermuth. He's not coming back on.
Yeah, you just cooked that. Way to go. Good thing we got the autographed helmet already. Why Riley Leonard? What makes you think about him in like the fifth round or later?
Maybe it's not me.
Oh.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying, just keep your options open. I mean, I think Kyle McCord's a guy that is a very similar type of a quarterback, I guess.
I trust Kyle McCord to actually be able to throw the ball downfield.
Isn't Riley
more
Leonard
than Riley Leonard? I don't know what team he'd throw it to, as evidenced by his game at Heinz Field this fall, but
isn't he the guy that everybody has a crush on? Riley Leonard, all the girls, all the ladies. Isn't he like has some flowing locks or something?
No one.
Could you imagine having a quarterback room of Riley Leonard and Mason Rudolph? Man, it's like GQ, baby.
Is it? I don't know. What does Riley Leonard?
What's wrong with that?
I don't know if I even remember what Riley Leonard looks like without.
I think
an
so. I don't know. I don't look at my quarterbacks like that, but something tells me it is. Somebody in the comments.
Wait. I have no problem saying that Mason Rudolph is an objectively handsome man. I have no problem saying that.
Well, I do.
I'm secure enough in my masculinity that I can say that.
Maybe not. Riley Leonard. I don't know. I'm not really into gauging men's.
Are you thinking of Sam Hartman from the year?
I don't know who I'm thinking of. Honestly, it might be Hartman.
I think you're thinking of Sam Hartman.
Oh, that was close.
You're off by a whole year, but yeah, other than that, you were close.
Well, whatever. I don't really care.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Well, the point is I mean, I wouldn't look for a
Let me put it this way.
83, yes.
If Sanders or Milroe are there at 83.
Once again, that's not going to happen, but if. I think they take Milroe over Sanders there. I think that's a no-brainer there. But I don't think that. I mean, I think you're going to see Milroe go very early in the second round.
Okay, let's say Milroe comes off the board, okay, in the second round, and let's say we get to that spot, say, late second, okay? So in that spot where you have, like, the Lions and the Bills and the Eagles and the Chiefs, you know, what would it be? Hold on, let me look up the exact pick numbers. It would be late 50s, I think, early 60s. Yeah, we'd be talking like, you know, 56 through like 64. Would you package future picks to move up there?
No.
I wouldn't either. I'm just asking the question.
No, because my point of order. I'm not mortgaging my future with any picks to go get a backup.
Okay. Sorry. I'm just making sure. Because, look, our mutual friend Adam Crowley from 93.7 The Fan this morning.
He had to be trolling.
Tweeted something like, if you can get a second round pick for George Pitt. Hold on. I want to make sure I read this exactly right. Because it made me shake my head and go, wait.
He took a page.
It must be a wait and make Friday for Crowley. It made no sense. Hold on. Where'd it go? I had it up here.
Engagement, baby.
Engagement. If trading Pickens gets the Steelers into a spot to get Shedeur Sanders, then they should do it.
You want to trade Pickens, right?
That's what he said. If trading Pickens gets the Steelers.
He does not believe that.
I'm telling you, the man posted it on X. So
I know I responded.
He either believes it.
Okay, Mel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like there are some people that are still so rock hard. Like go six to midnight at this mere mention of Shedeur Sanders.
It's a family show. What's that language?
I'm not the one that started the show with a certain four-letter word yesterday before the intro even played. There are some people that are so aroused at the idea of Shedeur Sanders that they can't stop thinking about doing whatever is possible to get him. And I'm like, bro, ship sailed. It's done. It's not happening. Maybe if he's there at 83.
Talking about arousal, rock hard, Riley Leonard, good looking.
You're the one that brought up the man crush
on Mason Rudolph. Where are we going at here?
You know what I'm talking about. There's people that really want them to go after Shedeur Sanders. I still think it's running back at 83. I mean, there's the running back class is too deep that you're going to have at least one worth picking there, unless there's some kind of crazy run on running backs before they come up at 83. I think they stay put at 83 and take a running back. And like we talked about yesterday, what's that?
Is Genty's the only one to go or is somebody?
No, Hampton, remember?
Oh, speaking of that,
what?
I wonder what Najee thinks of the old Chargers facility right now when he's a one and doneer.
Wow.
Oh, that's the last time you've heard him from a media standpoint. You know, he's burning. And the Steelers are the one that allowed it to happen.
I hadn't even thought of that connection. The Najee Omarion Hampton connection should be an interesting.
Where is he going to be at next year now?
Maybe I don't know.
Go to Jacksonville.
But yeah, I still think it's running back at 83. And then on Saturday, probably another defensive lineman.
Hey, I don't think you can actually even count on defensive linemen. Look what they did last year, right? They doubled up. I know Frazier was a unique talent.
That would be a bold move, in my opinion. First two picks, both D-line. I don't disagree with it necessarily, but I think they have to address running back at some point.
I mean, that's another thing about, hey, their interest in Shedeur Sanders. Look what they did in the offseason. The offseason pointed to where the heck they were wanted to go. They got rid of their only semi-veteran offense defensive lineman and Ogan Joby really didn't replace him, but anything but, you know, throwing shit stuff against the wall is even stuck, right? I mean, the Loudermilks of the world and the Logan Lees of the world and stuff like that, and they brought in the guy from New England. I ain't pretending to pronounce his name. So you knew they were going that route, but we ignore the stuff that's right in front of us. Well, some of us ignore it. So if you look at it, the same goes with running back. They got rid of Najee. They signed Warren to one-year deal. They signed Gainwell to one-year deal. Patterson, I think, still only has one-year deal if he's still on the roster. Obviously, it's running back. I mean, I think they're interested in wide receiver, too.
Yeah, so I'll
talk about that.
I'll say this. Like, the one thing that would make me pause about running back is like we talked about last week. If they have something in mind with a veteran free agent who's available, like if they'd rather sign Nick Chubb or J.K. Dobbins on Monday morning after the draft is over and bring him in as the complement to Jalen Warren, by all means, I got no problem not taking a running back in the draft.
Yeah, definitely an option.
But
I'm looking at our comments here, Dan Heckteam said Mo Howard. Is he talking about the Three Stooges? Who's the third stooge? Larry, Mo, and Curly. I mean, isn't Mo Howard a stooge? Which one? Yes. Who's he calling a stooge?
Maybe Najee.
Maybe us.
Possibly.
He wouldn't be off. He'd be about correct.
Possibly.
Mo Howard is the
Yes, the Mo leader. Howard is Mo yeah. from the Three okay. Stooges.
I'm just saying. I'm just a little disappointed that people in the freaking comments didn't realize the Cobra Kai fandom of my.
What do you want people to say?
Where you been? Where you been all your life?
What do you want them to say? Hey, show us the guns, Kaboom. Let's see.
No, they're like, oh, you're a Cobra Kai fan. Well, I mean, you must have never heard my name before because every single time I talk, it's something about Karate Kid or whatever.
You really?
All right, what are we talking about now?
So what was, let's real quick, what do you think your favorite move of the first round was by anybody?
Ooh. See, I like Hunter to go to the Jaguars because they now got two wide receivers, a good quarterback. I'm not quite sure about their running back, but they did give up a lot.
Do you think they start him on the offensive side of the ball and then move him to defense vice versa?
I mean, I think he's an offensive player. I mean, I wouldn't even worry that much. Normally those things play out itself. He's going to quickly find out that he's not going to play 118 snaps a game in the NFL. So I think maybe he'll dabble in it early in his career. He's just going to be like Deion. He's going to be a reverse Deion, all offense and occasionally defense. It'd be crazy to think otherwise.
I mean,
they announced the sleeves, man. I just woke up. I slept like 2 hours. Leave me alone.
They announced him as a corner. So they announced.
Did they really?
Yeah, I believe so. They announced him as a defensive player. So I don't know. But my plan, like you said, would be it's. In my opinion, anyway, it's probably easier to start on the offensive side of the ball, have an impact there, and then I think it was Bill Cowher I heard on maybe it was Coach Carr earlier this week when somebody asked him about Travis Hunter, say, hey, because he's got experience, obviously, with guys playing multiple positions, i.e. Cordell years ago, although that was both on offense. But start him at the position that's easier to learn. And then maybe back half of the season, maybe if things are going well with his receiving duties, you start to fold in some defensive responsibilities. But like you get him out there on the offensive side of the ball and let Trevor Lawrence just chuck the football all over the yard, I think.
You know, talking about who might have won the first round, I don't know, you can't win or lose right now.
Yeah, but, don't use that term. That's
but a guy that you have to say was very fortunate. Has to be your Indianapolis Colts being able to get Tyler Warren with the 14th overall pick. They might need a lot more than that, but what a piece, man. I mean, you're literally taking, I obviously believe, the best tight end in the draft, but the Bears take Colston Loveland like six picks ahead of that? How can you
– you I think that was
Loveland's a- okay, but we're talking about Ty Warren. There's nothing the guy can't do.
Yeah, that was weird to me, too. Loveland's very good, but I don't know if the Bears panicked there because there were rumors they wanted Genty. But, like, you had to have an idea. You had to know that the Raiders were all over Genty.
Well, that's been, like, I mean, hasn't it almost been?
It's been public knowledge
for
like a month.
For a week?
Yeah. So I don't know how you could be unprepared to but I don't know.
But, you know, speaking of running backs, I mean, Hampton to the Chargers.
Yeah, I still think.
Not a bad one.
I'm trying to think. The best, I think Egbuka at 19. I think that's a great move by Tampa. Your wide receivers are getting up there in age.
One's coming off an injury.
Both
of them were injured.
Evans was healthy, I think, at the end.
I'm saying he missed a portion of last year, though.
Right. The point is, neither one of them is getting any younger. And Egbuka comes in, as a third wide receiver starts from day one. Who knows? Godwin may not be 100%. That's a quality target who can work all over the formation and all over the field for Mayfield.
And that is the benefit of being able to get a franchise quarterback on free agency and get a running back that not too many people knew of last year to become a definite starter, and even a tight end that came out of nowhere. So, and their offensive line looks pretty decent as well. I mean, that's a team you have to start mentioning, I do believe in the NFC as a team to have a chance, a Super Bowl, or at least a definitely, well, NFC sucks, but
they beat the Super Bowl champs in the playoffs 2 years ago. Granted, that's a much different Philadelphia Eagles team that they beat in the playoffs, but they handled them a couple years ago in the playoffs. Very similar Buccaneers roster, too. So, and I also think the Giants, look, I like Jaxon Dart. I think remains to be seen how good he's going to be. But, like, to get Abdul Carter and Jaxon Dart on night one of the draft, that looks really, really good, in my opinion.
So they got him from once again, this was right in the middle of talking to Tomlin. What did they give up for Jaxon Dart? To move from 25 to or whatever, this second round to the 25.
I got to look up the exact trade. Hold on.
The Rams, right? Was it the Rams or no?
No, it was the Texans and the Giants. Let me look it up, make sure I have it right.
So they moved up 8-9 spots.
So the Giants traded their second round pick, and I think they had a couple of third rounders, 34 and 99, and a future third rounder. 425
for Bo Callahan. But you love that video I sent you today, Sean Salisbury. I heard he didn't show up to his birthday party. The guy goes, "Yeah, you know, I think that might have been a joke off the movie Draft Day."
This is ridiculous.
He disappeared for a while. He's
who?
Salisbury.
Salisbury, yeah.
He was everywhere, then he disappeared, and now he's coming back. But I thought that was hilarious.
I heard nobody even showed up to his birthday party. thanks to Impact HVAC. You want to get your AC tuned up before the temps start to rise? Yeah. It was a hot one yesterday, kaboom. The kids were out in the pool swimming when I got home from work, and you know, you're going to have to get the AC rolling here eventually, even if it cools off for a few days.
Mine's on already.
Yeah, see? Did you get it tuned up? You got to call Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852, or check them out on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. They'll come on out. Service, maintenance, emergency calls, whatever you need. Family-owned business in the South Hills, Impact HVAC, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or give them a call at 412-297-1852. What was the worst pick of the first round then?
Oh, man.
Worst one. One you hated the most.
Hey, let me see here.
Yeah, it would help if you looked at the list of picks that were actually.
Well, I'm looking. The problem is memory. Wow.
Nothing?
I'm looking. I'm just, you know.
You liked every pick? You liked every pick, didn't you?
Well, maybe the Jets and Membu. I don't know if you
I'm on Membu from Missouri. I mean,
Mason Graham to me, I know he's a stud, but he just does not look like a.
He doesn't look like he's going to hold up on the interior of an NFL defensive line.
He's just weird. I mean, Tyler Booker, I don't know if I'm picking a guard 12th overall. I understand why they took him. What, Zach Martin just quit? I mean, retired, right?
Yeah.
Gray Zabel, too, in Seattle. I don't know why I'm ripping on guards.
Yeah.
Do you think Seattle would have been interested in Ibuka?
Yeah, I think they're resigning themselves to not a rebuild, but like – a prolonged sort of retooling of things, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know they went out and got the quarterback, but I mean, there's a chance Darnold could go back to being a pumpkin and they suck and they want to improve the core pieces before they want to start bringing in all the offensive weapons. I don't know.
I don't want to rip on the Pitt Panthers here, but I will. There very well could be more North Dakota State people in the NFL than Pitt Panthers right now.
Stop it. There are not. Look, I'm a Penn State guy through and through. Pitt produces NFL players. Like, that's the number one priority rather than winning actual college football.
Not this year.
Okay, so there's a down year.
Not that last year they had one, right? One?
Was it just one last year? Look, again, I'm not here to argue in favor.
I like Pitt, and I like – but I like to rip on them from time to time.
Yeah, I never knew
my lack of sleeves would be this interesting by people.
Hey. I think you're trying to make a statement. Is that what it is?
My statement is, as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to take a nap.
Oh, okay. And then you got to watch. You got to watch SmackDown tonight, right?
Oh, is it tonight?
Yeah, it's Friday. Well, there's a lot going on.
Else I gotta
How
do
about
too?
This? No, you need three screens for tonight. Draft on one screen, SmackDown on another, and then Skeens against the Dodgers in LA. Three screens needed tonight.
Skeens.
Yeah. Against Yamamoto. This is going to be a massive pitching match.
Yamamoto, he seems like one of the guys that Daniel LaRusso fought in the Cobra Kai. Yamamoto.
Wow. Look at you.
Just Cobra. You know what it is about, when was TJ Watt drafted? 17?
17.
That was the first year of the Cobra Kai series.
Okay.
It was on YouTube Red that came out on the first day of the draft.
Hmm.
How about that?
YouTube okay, Red. Cobra Kai, Karate Kid, Cobra Kai historian.
Wow. So I remember watching it. Mark Cavalli. I was one of seven people that actually watched the first season live. I signed up for YouTube Live or YouTube Red.
Yeah.
And just like watched them all, then just deleted it like next because it was like a 7-day free trial. And we all do it. So don't even judge.
Hey, I wasn't judging. No judgments here. No judgment zone.
It's like changing your IP address just to watch PLEs.
No judgment. If that's what you want to do, hey.
So Matt Gorski used to be a disc jockey at WSA in Manassas and Charleroi. That's Cliff Gorski. Remember Cliff Gorski?
No, I know. I don't remember Cliff Gorski. Do you think he's related to Matt Gorski?
I mean, how many Gorskis are out there?
I don't know. It's Western PA. There could be every fourth name ends in a ski.
What are you trying to say there?
There's a lot of Polacks. That's what I'm trying to say. A lot of hunkies and Polacks.
There ain't nothing wrong with some Polish food, my man.
I'm not complaining. I'd love to taste Mrs. Gorski's pierogies. That sounded dirty. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
Man. Looking at the old X, we're already on to Pirates should sign O'Neill Cruz now.
Why? Because he's
hit two home runs.
It's what, three of the last four games, isn't it?
How many times have we seen this from the guy? Then he disappears.
Well, maybe there's no disappearing act this year.
Yeah, right.
I don't dislike Cruz like other people. I am willing to take the
the
nonsense in the outfield, like, you know, jogging after balls in the gap, all that. I'm willing to take all the nonsense because he's wildly talented. I am. And they need as much talent as possible, even if he's occasionally flaky.
Occasionally.
You're the Pirates. You don't get to decide which talented players you're in or out on based on some flakiness. You just need talent. You're the Pirates. If you have an O'Neill Cruz, you don't piss around and say, oh, well, I don't know if I really like this guy or not because he doesn't run out every ground ball. You know what? He hits absolute moonshots.
Oh, how many runs were there worth? Same thing as one that scrapes the top of the wall. So I don't really care about moonshots.
All right, buddy. You cared enough to bring up Matt Gorski.
Well, somebody brought up Matt Gorski on Pony's Burner.
All you do is just go by what's on the chat, don't you?
No, only thing I go by is Brian Garrett.
What are we going to see on SmackDown tonight?
That's a good question.
Cody and Cena are supposed to square off, right?
Cena have like 27 more dates left?
Yep. Three to four.
Which means about two a month.
No, it's three to four per month. So once a week.
That doesn't mean he's going to wrap. I mean, how many matches do you think's left in him? Three?
There's 8 months left in the year, in the run, right?
SummerSlam.
Eight matches.
Obviously, Backlash. Maybe Money in the Bank. There's three. Maybe Saturday Night Main Event, but I doubt it.
I'd say six to eight matches.
No.
Yeah. No. Well, look, I saw somebody throw this theory out on social media last night, and I think it makes a ton of sense. he's supposed to ruin wrestling, right? So that's his whole.
Some might say The Rock already did that.
Jesus, everybody out against Dwayne. This is all part of the story. I don't understand how people don't get this, that this is part of the storyline. Like, do you think for a second that they're not planning this so that you grow to hate Cena and The Rock and Travis Scott whenever he shows up, that you're not growing to hate them more and more and more by the day because you think they're ruining everything and you think they're all out for themselves? Of course, it's all shoot. It's all work.
I would have kept Cody off TV for a couple weeks. What's he going to say? What's he going to do?
I still think there's a chance that might happen. Maybe we get a beat down.
We don't see that triple threaded Backlash Orton.
No, I think we'll get. I think what we'll see is straight up Orton Cena, and then I think at some point between now and the fall, we have to get some sort of Cena Punk and Cena Reigns. You know, like we have to have those on the way out.
Yeah, we're really not talking about that at all, but. CM Punk came back to be the man, the main eventer, the chance of winning the title. He's getting, you know, a little bit screwed over the past couple of months here, where he thought he was going to be here, and he got knocked down. He's getting his ass beat every time he comes to the ring now.
Did you think he was going to get a belt?
I think he eventually will, but
I think he eventually will, too, but like it just does not – Punk, Reigns, Rollins, that story doesn't even need a belt involved, right? All you need is Heyman. And so my point is they're going to string it out. Cena will have 6 to 8 matches the rest of the year. And at the end of the whole thing, this is the theory I saw last night that I think makes a ton of sense. At the end of the whole thing, Cody comes back around. Maybe he has an extended absence, comes back around, and beat Cena to win the belt back as Cena walks out the door and saves wrestling at the end of the year as Cena walks out the door. But you got to let things slowly play out. You got everybody bang once, bang, right now. Well, give it to me.
Once again, I think if the Soldier Soul angle that Dwayne just needed to show his face at WrestleMania, the Super Bowl of wrestling, just show your face. Don't even do it. Just show your face.
What's the other part of this angle with Cena? You don't get what you want. You get what I choose to give you, which is nothing.
But sometimes, if I'm paying $30,000 for a floor seat, I want to see Dwayne Johnson.
Well, then don't pay $30,000 for the seat. I'm
saying $30,000 because there was a viral clip going around of Randy Orton meeting a fan, and he's like, "Where'd you sit?" "Oh, I sat front row." He said, "You mean on the floor?" "No, I paid like $30,000 for the bowl." It's like, what?
That's insane. But yeah, look, it's all part of the storyline for the rest of the year. It's all part of the storyline for the rest of the
year. We get to see our boy Jacob Fatu tonight, maybe.
Maybe.
Where'd Tama go? He just disappeared.
He's hurt, isn't he?
He's hurt. I mean, fake hurt. What about Bailey? I don't know. Was she going to be on? Well, I think they're switching it up here soon, aren't they? Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, they usually have the draft this time of year.
I mean,
right?
If you're Bailey, you're like, okay, you sit out of WrestleMania. I'm not the biggest Bailey fan. You sit out of WrestleMania, we'll take care of you. We're going to put a strap on you. I wouldn't be surprised if she gets a belt here soon. But I mean, you totally screwed her out of WrestleMania to bring Becky back. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a NXT person here. We're talking about Bayley, who's been around forever.
Maybe that's part of the storyline, too.
I can't believe I'm sitting here talking about Bayley. Well, as Michael Cole calls her Belly. Belly.
No, he said.
It's coming from Belly, Belly to Belly.
It's like, the Belly to Bayley to Belly suplex.
But he said Belly to Belly.
Anyway, I did see The Rock respond. So you saw the rant.
La Greca. Is that who he responded to?
Who?
Dave La Greca from Busted Open?
Yes. Did you see that?
Lamar's boss?
Yes. So you know what I'm about to bring up.
Yeah,
right?
you know that rant? I accidentally listened to it the other day where he just went nuts about everything and about how Cody's getting treated. My kid's in the back seat and goes, "I totally agree." He goes, he was saying a lot of swear words. I'm like, yes, he was. But he says, I totally agree.
So this, I guess The Rock saw LaGreca's rant, which go look it up. Just look up the Dave LaGreca busted open rant about WrestleMania.
Bubba Ray, that's probably how he saw it. But
probably. Well, he mentions Bubba in this Instagram reply. The Rock said, "Hi, Dave. The business is a complete work. Always has been, always will be. Every aspect of it, every match, every interview." And then he goes on to say something about, you know, changing your perspective and don't rant. It's not good for you.
Wouldn't that mean that his tweet was then a work, if everything's a work?
Maybe. Maybe the interview with Pat was a work, right? It's all a work. Right. Maybe talking about how they threw him on Elimination Chamber at the last minute because of ticket sales was a work. Right. Maybe it's all a work.
You like my theory of Wade Barrett?
I'm going to be honest. Wade, I like 98% of the stuff you come up with. Wade's cool.
Like my Wade Barrett. I'm thinking outside the box here, brother.
I appreciate you thinking outside the box. I am interested to see where that goes, though, with Gunther.
I don't think Pat's getting an A-ring.
No, I don't.
I mean, first of all, he would get squashed like crazy, so it would benefit neither, unless you want him to squash you, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be another angle to it. There's got to be another side to it where somebody comes out to stand up for Pat and Cole and, like you said, Wade Barrett makes sense in that case.
Well, I guess Lesnar, but not Lesnar.
What?
Goldberg.
Oh.
They've been teasing Goldberg for a year now for his final match. But I don't know what Goldberg has to do with those guys.
Nothing really, but I mean,
Bill Goldberg.
I had forgotten about Goldberg. When's their show in Atlanta? They have a show in Atlanta later this year that people had talked about being the final Goldberg match.
Bill Goldberg.
That's right now you got me thinking. Hold on. Now you got me thinking.
I'm sure they can come up with something. I know Goldberg was talking about having one final match, right?
They have. Hold on. Come on, people. Just give me the shows that are in Atlanta. No, they're not going to give me anything. I can't find the list right now.
Where's Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank is in LA at the Intuit Dome.
Yeah. Which last time I was in LA, it wasn't even built yet. They were building it.
Yeah. I don't see Atlanta on the schedule right now. Maybe it'll be there later in the year, but, that's an interesting idea. Goldberg coming in against Gunther. But tonight I'm curious to see what Cena and Cody have in store. And then the table, ladders, chairs match. I know, like, the Street Profits, you know, the tag team angles right now, are, in my opinion, aren't the most exciting. But you have a triple threat tag table, ladders, chairs match with DIY, Street Profits, and the Motor City Machine Guns that might actually be low-key wild. Because I think all three of those groups, all three of those tag teams, we'll have at least one ridiculous spot in that match. Once you get tables and ladders involved, it can be fun real fast.
Yeah. I'm going to change the subject real quick here.
Yeah.
But you know Darren Ravel?
Yes.
He just tweeted, "The bar door from Cheers is up for auction. How much would you pay for it?"
The one from the actual Cheers or the one from the set of the TV show?
I'm guessing the set.
I mean, I'm not. What do you do with that? You just put it in your basement, lean it up against the wall.
Guess how much the pre-sale estimate is?
Oh, something stupid like $1 million.
$125,000 to $150,000.
That's
jump change
stupid.
For you.
Jump change. Yeah. I'll buy it twice. How about that? No, that's no thanks. Like, it's kind of cool if like you found it in somebody's at a garage sale, but
the bar went for $675,000 last year or 2 years ago.
Oh, one more thing I'm going to ask you before
Norm's share was $20,000.
Before we remind people to subscribe, $20,000 for Norm's Barstool?
It was $10,000 to $20,000, yeah.
I'd actually be more interested in that than the door, I think. But anyway, you mentioned it in your possible rivalries post-Mania article that you wrote for WWE.com. the post WrestleMania Karrion Kross promo that felt like a shoot but wasn't, was definitely a work. I just want to fill this guy up. Put him in a story and let him go. You think Logan Paul's it? You think they actually let him?
It's going to have to be somebody that he might build up to towards a, you know, AJ. I don't know why he got beef against AJ, because he wouldn't cheat. I mean, that doesn't seem like to me. But, I mean, unless Cross, I mean, unless he's an awful worker, which I don't see that.
I don't think he is.
I don't understand what you're holding this guy back for. Man, just put a mic in that guy's head every damn day, every damn show.
That's what I'm saying. Why isn't he getting a push?
Maybe he is now.
Maybe.
Well, he was with those other two jabrones, and I think they released them, right?
Yeah, I think they did. For more Scarlett time on camera alone, it's worth it.
No, Scarlett or Tiffy, what are you choosing? What do you think about Tiffy? You got a tooth chipped?
I don't know if the tooth actually got chipped or not. Because she showed up on the post-match press conference looking fine, other than the lump on her forehead.
AOP, that's it.
Yeah. What was it?
You can tell the only person that's listening right now is Justin, because he made the last 7 comments. Everybody else tuned out.
Yeah, everybody's done with the wrestling talk. Don't forget, if you'd like that autographed Pat Freiermuth helmet, thanks to our friends at First and Goal Collectibles, firstandgoalsports.com, or check them out at South Hills Village. If you'd like it, you got to subscribe on YouTube to Kabali and Mac. Be one of the first 1,500 subscribers, and you'll be in a drawing to win the autographed Penn State Pat Freiermuth helmet. Again, you don't have to be a Penn State fan to think that's pretty cool, I think. Anyway, you can do whatever you want with it once you win it. Give it to a Penn State fan in your family or a friend. You could sell it to someone else. Hell, we don't care what you do with it once you win it. But your chance to win it is if you're one of the first 1,500 subscribers to Kabali and Mac on YouTube. Thanks to our friends at First and Goal Sports, firstandgoalsports.com. We are at 1,182 subscribers right now, Kaboom. So we need 318 more to give that thing away.
That's a lot. We gotta start rolling with this one.
We gotta step it up. Let's go, people.
We need to step up as who's your predicted third round pick before we leave.
Who did I say yesterday? I'm gonna stick with
it.
Hold on. I have it here. Oh, Scataboo.
Scataboo.
Cam Scatterbomb.
I said Junkins, which I guess he could be.
No, did you say Judkins? Yeah, you did.
You're right. Because you're making fun of me, and I said, well.
Yeah, I don't know if he's there. If he's there, I'm that's
the problem. I mean, I would like Caleb Johnson, but he might not be there. I'm thinking more like a DJ Giddens type of guy. If Junkins is not there, I think Travion Henderson is going to go early here. And always remember, Mac.
What?
Somebody loves you.
What is that?
I'm always sitting on the table here.
Just an Easter card hanging out on the table?
Somebody loves you.
Thanks, Mark. That really made my Friday. All right, let's wrap it up. Well, we can do it again on Monday and maybe break down the whole draft and what else they did and what other moves happened, where guys ended up going. You can falsely claim that Pitt doesn't produce any NFL players again. It'll be hilarious because all the Pitt fans will get upset.
I was just actually complimenting North Dakota State.
You were just trying to poke the bear. That's what you were doing. Poke the bear. Poke, poke, poke. All right, enjoy SmackDown tonight. Everybody enjoy the rest of the draft. Enjoy Skeens against Yamamoto tonight. Enjoy the rest of your weekend in general. Mark's going to head back to the South Side, talk to Derek Harmon, hopefully at some point this weekend, if he's able to get into town, and the rest of the picks as well. And all of it we'll be here to talk about on Monday morning. We appreciate each and every single one of you for joining us here on another edition of Kabali and Mac. Have a